So Baltimore is not over yet. You thought it was over. It's not over, though. And it's not over because of this. Now, this is, I'm looking at CNN now. Yes, CNN, I'm looking at you. They actually, they did a report where they interviewed two Baltimore police officers who spoke on the condition of anonymity. And it's so weird to see police officers doing that because they're in hoodies. You can't see them. Their faces are blacked out. I haven't... I'm looking at the article. But on a condition of anonymity, they were speaking about the spike in the murder rights and murder rate in Baltimore. And about how the tension in the department has grown so much to where they feel that they can be thrown in jail for simply doing their job. This comes off the heels of a grand jury indictment that was in late May that was indicting the six police officers in the death of Freddie Gray, which has been, which is going to be, it's going to be charged as a homicide. I don't know how they're going to charge six people with the homicide of one person who were probably all doing different parts in the arrest. But apparently, the six officers face charges that, if convicted, could lead to decades in prison based on their alleged actions that day. Among them, illegal arrest, and these are alleged, misconduct, assault, and involuntary manslaughter. Officer Caesar R. Goodson Jr., who prosecutors say was driving the van used to transport Gray after his arrest, faces the most charges and the most severe: second-degree depraved heart murder. Which I'm reading this and I'm going, based on what? This is ridiculous. He was driving the van. What could he have done? What? How can he have second-degree murder? You're basically saying that he was... Well, first of all, you're saying that Freddie Gray was not injured because his spinal cord was severed, right? And his neck was broken. Vertebrae was crushed. Something happened. But you're basically saying that this driver purposely jostled the van. So you're saying a couple things. One, Freddie Gray, the full extent of his injuries did not occur until he was in the van. So you're saying that. So right off the bat, wouldn't that give evidence to acquit the other officers? And two, you're saying that this man purposely drove like a maniac in order to kill this man? You've got to prove that in court. But apparently, the list of charges and indictments the grand jury returned differs slightly from charges Mosby announced earlier this month. All six officers now face charges of reckless endangerment. Of reckless endangerment, and several other allegations have been removed. Now, apparently, this is a quote now, as our investigation has continued, additional information has been discovered and is often the case during an ongoing investigation. Charges can and should be revised based upon the evidence. Mosby didn't take questions at the press conference and didn't go into details about what additional evidence had come to light. The officers are scheduled to be arraigned on July 2nd, she said. Mosby's announcement earlier this month that charges had been filed against the officers brought cheers from protesters and words of protest from the police union. Attorneys for the officers have called for Mosby to be taken off the case, arguing that she has conflicts of interest, an accusation Mosby denies. Quote, all citizens are innocent until proven guilty, including these six officers. That was from Baltimore City Fraternal Order of Police President Gene Ryan. A lawyer representing Sergeant Alicia White, who faces charges of involuntary manslaughter, assault, misconduct, and reckless endangerment, denied the accusations. Quote, I look forward to trying this case against Marilyn Mosby herself and proving Alicia White is innocent. I still want to see evidence. I still want to see evidence that links this. that links all of these different things, and whether these charges, because we know these charges are to the extent that they are because of the riots in Baltimore. We do know that. So apparently, police officers in Baltimore have spoken out to CNN. The CNN articles I've been reading here. Apparently, two active Baltimore police officers spoke to CNN on Tuesday about crime in the city. And they were talking about how the Baltimore Police Department is reacting to events instead of being proactive. They talked about feeling abandoned by their leadership and feeling scared, not about being hurt necessarily, but about being charged criminally for doing what they see as their job. Six officers were charged. And this is what's happening now. See, our nation has a problem with authority right now. And it's tearing apart our nation. And it's all falling on the cops, and they're talking basically about how officers, in a lot of ways, because they're afraid they're going to get charged criminally for anything that they do, that they are looking the other way. Because, and this is where the rubber hits the road, okay? Quote, ultimately, it does a disservice to law-abiding citizens. It does a disservice to the business owners. It does disservice to everybody except the criminal element. One of the officers said, I think the public really, really sees that they asked for a softer, less aggressive police department. And we have given them that. And now they're realizing that their way of thinking does not work. You realize when someone tells you how to do your job, and you get all frustrated about it because you're like, well, I've been doing my job for so long, and I know this, and I've been trained, and I know, and I've got experience, and, well, the public has been telling the police how to do their job, and the police are going, okay, we'll do it the way you'd like us to do it. We'll do it your way. And now you're seeing what happens. Apparently, a lot of criminals are even using this time to basically settle beefs. Quote, the criminal element feels as though that we're not going to run the risk of chasing them if they are armed with a gun. And they're using this opportunity to settle old beefs or scores with people that they have conflict with. And this is really just allowing the criminals to be the only winners here. Worry has overtaken a lot of the officers, and now morale is low, who heads to apparently to Sergeant Lieutenant Kenneth Butler, who leads a police union in Baltimore, the Vanguard Justice Society. They feel as though if I make a mistake, which we all do make mistakes, then what is that administration going to do to me? He said to CNN's Miguel Marquez. Am I going to be the next one suspended? Am I going to be the next one who is going to be criminally charged? One officer called the union leader to ask if he'd be liable if a suspect he was chasing ran into traffic and got hit by a car, Butler said. He couldn't answer the question, so the officer told Butler he'd stop pursuing suspects on foot for now. I mean, this is ridiculous. But this is what happens when you take your authority issues out on those who are charged with protecting us. Butler said, but they don't feel like their leadership has their back anymore. Quote, a lot of guys, they feel betrayed. Police Commissioner Anthony Batts last week blamed the uptick in crime on the number of looted drugs that have made their way into the city streets after April's riots. It's amazing. These riots, these protests, which are supposed to be against injustice, you know what they've done? They've made the city worse. They've made the crime rate worse. Introduced more drugs into the city. Murders have spiked. Police are afraid to do what they've been doing for some time now because of this witch hunt that's going on in our nation against all police officers because it's a problem with authority. Talked about the other day how Scripture talks about all authority is God-given. All authority is God-given. And is God's servant here. We have issues as a nation. We're going to talk about that in the next segment here. We have issues as a nation. We have issues in our criminal justice system, and there may be some ways to fix it. I'm going to talk about one story that we obtained, a local story in Delaware County. Kind of give you a perspective. So we have issues, we have things that need to be fixed in our justice system, but we also need our justice system. We cannot criticize every little thing a police officer does in his job when they are under the most stress anyone ever has to face in their life, making sometimes life and death decisions on the spot because they have no other choice but to. They have to. Bats, who's the commissioner of police, I hope they realize that what their actions are and the fact that the community needs them. Apparently, he was telling CNN's AC360. When I'm going through roll calls, what I share with them, Anderson, is the fact that remember why you came on this job and why you put that gun belt on, why you put that badge on, and why you wear that uniform every single day for the grandmothers and the babies and the little ones. And you got to remember, people, the majority of police officers, that's why they're doing this job, because they want to serve the community. We've been demonizing the police force, and now it's coming back to bite us. Well, let's take a look at maybe another cause of some of our ills, the justice system, and how we could remedy that from what lawyers have made it in a lot of ways.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Costa, host of The Costa Report, inviting you to tune in every Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty.
What's RDO, you ask? Well, it's your soundtrack for good days and the not so good days. It's your party mix and your chill mix. Basically, RDO puts endless stations in your pocket or on your tablet. Launch a station based on an artist or genre, or build a custom music station that's totally you. And it's free until you say otherwise. That's RDIO. RDO. Tuned to you.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Chris Christie will be there. Scott Walker will be there. Rick Santorum will be there. You need to be there. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference at the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel, June 18th through the 20th. Meet the top Republican candidates for president right here in Philly. Sign up at 2015leadership.gop. That's 2015leadership.gop. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference. You can't miss it. Paid for by the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. You can call in 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Mike Levins here. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning. I hope you're enjoying your ride to work. The weather is going to be a little hotter today, so make sure that you're hydrated. High of 93 today and tomorrow, by the way, I believe. And you need to keep your water up. And yet that means less salt. So all you people in New York City, you're already having your city help you out in getting less salt in your diet by giving you little markers that tell you that your salt intake is going to be higher in certain foods. Yeah, didn't you know that? So stay away from salt, apparently. Or I guess if you're on the other side of that argument, people would tell you that you need salt, that we're actually having too little salt in our diets. Oy vey, there's always an argument over everything today. Welcome to the program again. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't listened before, it's wonderful to have you as we talk about the headlines from a Christian perspective. Now, I was telling you before in the other break, it is going to be hot, by the way, so make sure that you have water, make sure that you're hydrated. Very important. So, we're talking now. There's a local story from Delaware County. And recently we had a representative of the Charles Koch Institute on the show. He was telling us about a movement by the Institute and the NAACP and others across an ideological spectrum to reform the criminal justice system. Actions by the Georgia, Ohio, and Texas have reduced the number of people in prisons in Georgia in particular. To kind of give you an idea of the prison system right now, the reason that we're talking about this too is that this issue is inextricably tied to Baltimore. It is tied to the police, their policing of the city. It's tied to the issue with police across our country right now. Part of it is our prison system. Because many people feel that the prison system needs to be reformed in some ways. We're going to talk about what those ways are here right now. And that feeling comes out, unfortunately, against the police officers who enforce the law. Not that the law should not be enforced. It should. But we may be able to do some things to correct some of the statistics I'm going to read to you here. The reason that it's important, in the USA, 700 out of 100,000 are in jail. Now, to put that in perspective, in England, Canada, and Australia, about 110, about 130 of every 100,000 are in jail. So the USA has more people in jail as a percentage of the population than any other country in the world. And it's about 500 to 600% more people in jail as a percent of our population compared to other countries. There could be numerous reasons as to why that is, but that's just the statistic, which we would like to try to correct if possible. I think everyone can agree on that. That's not a controversy. A young man, apparently, Delaware County, who's about 20 years old, family, young child, was caught with an unloaded .22 caliber pistol on him, violating firearms regulations, apparently. His bail was set at over $300,000, and he had no prior arrest record. Now, to give you perspective on bail bond, about 10% is, and this is a WFYL exclusive, about 10% is required over the set bail, which for $300,000 would be $30,000, which is clearly out of the reach of most people. And don't you find it contradictory that many celebrities, their bails are quite easily in their reach if they ever run into problems with the law. But for the average citizen, it is not. Now, the source that we had, who was asked about the bail, why it was so high, said, well, we treat firearms violations seriously. Now, a .22 caliber pistol is actually usually a target pistol. That's a large percentage of what a .22 caliber is used for, and it was unloaded. Now, the young man is going to be facing prison time. This is all preliminary now as far as the charges. And the issue that comes out of this story naturally is that this young man is going to be sent to prison, and sometimes that makes a person who would have a relatively minor violation into a hardened criminal. Which somewhat argues why the prison rates are what they are in our country today. That could be it. There's more than one factor. There always is more than one factor that contributes to this. But there's more to this article that we'll we'll get into, but to kind of provide a scriptural perspective as to how God looks at justice. Because we're talking about the criminal justice system, right? But to kind of, we need perspective from Scripture when we're looking at this. Always. We're going to read Psalm 94, the NIV. The Lord is a God who avenges, a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth, pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long, Lord, will the wicked, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the foreigner. They murder the fatherless. They say the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no notice. Take notice, you senseless ones among the people. You fools, when will you become wise? Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches mankind lack knowledge? The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. A perspective on God's look on justice. Those who may break the law. Now, when we look at this scripture, we have to ask ourselves, where is the line? How do we characterize someone as being wicked? Someone argue we're all wicked, right? Someone would argue, well, we all have issues. We all have problems. And we all could be characterized when we're talking about Christianity because Jesus forgives us. He forgives us because of wrongs that we've done. And there are those, and many of which are criminals in those prisons who deserve to be there. Who deserve to be in those prisons. And this is God's look at justice to those who are lawbreakers. Now the question remains, by the way our system is set up right now in our nation, do we help out the process more than we should with minor offenses by moving someone for a relatively minor offense into such a high penalty bracket? Because we know that most people who go to jail, first of all, if it's a felony, your life is forever changed. It's very hard to correct or to get a job after that. Your life is completely changed. And sometimes they're based on minor offenses. We could break as many as 3 laws a day, apparently. At least that's what it seems like, doesn't it? With all the different laws and all the different things the government's doing. We gotta head to a break. We'll go ahead and continue more on this when we get back. It's a new day at 1180 WFYL.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The search for 2 killers who escaped from prison in New York expands into Vermont now. A stretch of highway and schools near the prison are closed. Jane Emerson lives in Dannemora, where police have gone door-to-door looking for Richard Matt and David Sweat.
The searches, I think they're necessary. It's for the safety of the public. It's to reapprehend these individuals that are a threat to society.
A cab driver in Philadelphia says he might have given the men a ride among the tips coming into police. An apology and resignation from a Nobel Prize-winning British scientist accused of sexism.
You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize their work, they cry. The three problems with women in laboratories, according to Tim Hunt. The 72-year-old resigning from his post at University College London after his comments caused a storm.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen in London. Fox News, we report.
Hey everybody, this is Laura Ingraham. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Summer storms are brewing, and you don't want to be left in the dark. On this week's Money Pit, learn how to keep your home connected when the power goes out. That's this Sunday at 1 p.m. on WFYL 1180 AM.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. Author unknown.
Welcome back to the program. You're listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. You can call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. There are some interesting laws in our nation. We're going to our daily face bomb is going to look into that, actually. Is going to look into how in the world? Well, I will. Okay, I can't even. You know me. I talk about the daily facepalm like it's the best thing since sliced bread. In a lot of instances, it is. I didn't even talk about this. I mentioned this before. And the daily facepalm, you're going to really get a. This is really one where you're not going to believe it. This is really a facepalm. Bury your heads in your hands for this one that's coming up here. But before we get to that, Sir Tim Hunt resigns from university role over girls' comment. This is from BBC.com, the BBC. Nobel laureate has resigned from his position as honorary professor at a UK university after he made comments about the, quote, trouble with girls in science. Oh, boy. A Royal Society fellow, Sir Tim Hunt, resigned from his position, the University College of London. He told a conference that women in labs, quote, cry when criticized and, quote, fall in love with male counterparts. You know, I just imagine this guy probably was not very social, probably is not very social. and I guess has some female problems. But, well, I'll let the article speak for itself. He told the BBC he, quote, did mean the remarks, but was, quote, really sorry. A statement from the university read that UCL, University College of London, can confirm that Sir Tim Hunt, FRS, has resigned from his position as honorary professor with the UCL Faculty of Life Sciences, following comments he made about women in science at the World Conference of Science Journalists on 9 June. UCL was the first university in England to admit women students on equal terms to men, and the university believes that this outcome is compatible with our commitment to gender equality. Well, there you go. Sir Tim, who's 72, was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 2001 for his work on how cells divide, reportedly told the conference in South Korea, quote, "Let me tell you about my trouble with girls." You always get in trouble when you talk about your love life, right? And I'm not talking about anything inappropriate there. I'm just talking about, you know, if you're romancing someone. Quote, three things happen when they are in the lab. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry. That's a direct quote from the Sir Tim Hunt. I could see how he had women problems, because I could see if you said that to a beloved woman in those words, that you're going to have some inherent issues. Issues, say that in the British way. I don't know if that's the British way, I'm just saying that. Speaking to BBC Radio 4's Today program on Wednesday, Sir Tim said he was, quote, really sorry that I said what I said, adding it was, quote, a very stupid thing to do. Get ready for this? In the presence of all those journalists. He's not admitting what he said was wrong. He's not saying it was wrong. He's just saying, I shouldn't have done it in the presence of all those journalists. Well, no, you shouldn't have. The British biochemist, who was knighted in 2006, said the remarks made at the conference were, quote, intended as a lighthearted, ironic comment, but had been, quote, interpreted deadly seriously by my audience. Didn't come off the way he thought it would. And he lost his job. Now, he was just trying to be lighthearted, was just trying to be funny. How many of us know comedians who venture in to some of the most grotesque, sometimes, and inappropriate things, not to mention if it was not taken in a comedic way, if it was taken seriously, something charged as racist or bigoted. Comedians do that all the time. He just apparently didn't communicate very well to his audience, and now it's costing him his position. And everyone's getting everything all wound up because they're thinking this has to do with gender equality. Quote, I have fallen in love with people in the lab, and people in the lab have fallen in love with me. And it's very disruptive to the science because it's terribly important that in a lab, people are on a level playing field. See, he wants equality. Hey, I'm being devil's advocate now. He wants equality. Quote, I found that these emotional entanglements made life very difficult. Quote, I'm really, really sorry I caused any offense. That's awful. I certainly didn't mean that. I just meant to be honest, actually. And I'll let this part of the article speak for itself. Meanwhile, Imran Khan, chief executive of the British Science Association, said the comments were frustrating. Sadly, sexism, other forms of discrimination, they're all part of those are real issues, and people have to deal with that bias for years. But Dr. Jennifer Ron, a cell biologist, who is a female, by the way, at the University College of London, said, quote, I think it was clear he was trying to be funny. Thank you. He's trying to be funny, people. Don't get all torn up now. Okay, at someone who's trying to make a joke who's not very good at telling jokes. It cost the poor man his job. He's a scientist, won the Nobel Prize, and now you're kicking him out because of something he tried to do that was funny. Well, that's tolerance, isn't it? 610-539-TALK. In the name of tolerance, everything else becomes intolerant. I hate that hypocrisy personally, but continuing what Dr. Jennifer Ron said, a female, mind you, I think it was clear he was trying to be funny. But people will interpret his comments as having a kernel of truth underneath. And that, therein lies the rub. The kernel of truth. he doesn't come out and say he's wrong for what he said. I love that. And then, of course, we have others weighing in, though. So, biologist, is she Connie St. Louis, a lecturer in science journalism at City University, who was in the 100-strong audience, said the incident was shocking. It was culturally insensitive, and it was very sexist. Oh, boy, here we go. I just thought, where in the world do you think you are that you can be making these kinds of comments in 2015? Well, obviously, he had some issues, and he was just telling you the truth, Miss Lecturer Connie St. Louis. Call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. On that, it is time. Are you ready? I'm definitely ready. It's time for your daily facebomb. Oh, we were talking about police, and we were talking about laws and how the justice system needs to be reformed. Well, here's a reformation moment in the justice system. From mirror.co.uk, Texas police demand a permit from two girls running lemonade stand outside their home. I guarantee there's had to be a check in them when they were doing this, going, you know, is this really the smartest thing to do? Should we really be doing this? You know, isn't there some guy robbing someone somewhere or someone speeding, endangering people's lives? Do we really need to ask these girls at lemonade stand for a permit? Apparently they did. Going against all common sense, they did. An astonishing police video has captured the moment two officers demanded a permit from two young girls selling homemade lemonade at a stand outside their home. The clip has sparked debate around the world after police are seen pulling over at the beverage stall in Overton, Texas, and asking the girl's mother whether she had obtained official paperwork to sell beverages on the street. Oh, boy. Papers, sir. Papers. Where are your papers? What are we living in, Soviet Russia? In the video, one officer from the Overton Police Department asks, "You get a permit with the city to serve this?" But the bemused mother replies, "I didn't know I had to. I had no clue. I thought a little lemonade stand would be okay." The second officer says, "We just have to enforce it. We don't write them." Well, yeah, that's what every officer would say in that situation, I think. You don't want to be blamed for something like that. The poor kids. Later, family friend went to Overton City Hall to obtain the $150 permit. And here's my commentary on that. The lemonade stand, hopefully, is looking to make a profit on this $150 investment by selling cups of lemonade at $2 a pop. I don't know that they're selling it there, but as it's a business perspective, the lemonade stand will start having stock now. They're going to go public to try to recoup the cost of this $150 permit now. They're starting at a penny a share. The lemonade stand was granted the peddler's permit. The fee was waived, according to KLTV News, but staff members told the friend that girls would need an inspection from the health department before they could continue to sell. Of course they would. Apparently, it must be inspected by health officials, which the city hall confirmed would include lemonade. Unsurprisingly, many viewers were unimpressed with the strict laws surrounding the lemonade stand, with one writing, "We have lost all common sense if little girls need a lemonade stand. Need a $150 permit for a lemonade stand in a health department inspection." Do a little dance in your car. That's our daily facepalm for today. Can you believe it? I can't. Oh, we've got to head to a break here, but you've got to admit that those officers, they were bold in what they did. I don't think, did the article mention their names? Nah, you don't want your name mentioned in something like that. That's one of those moments where you're like, what should I do as an officer? I kind of feel a little bit for the officers, but, well, because the city wanted to enforce it. Well, apparently they waived the fee, though. So we got to head to a break. When we get back, we'll continue the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back after this.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Being considerate and generous towards the needs of others is important to God. From Scripture, we know that God loves a cheerful giver.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. Blessing others can be a great motivation for us to consistently save and invest. Over the years, I have worked with many believers like you to help them develop a plan that allows them to give generously, save responsibly, and spend wisely.
For solid biblical financial planning, call MFB Wealth Management at 215-723-8999. MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999. Also on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA, SIPC.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor's Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He sent Paul Revere on his midnight ride to warn Lexington that the British were coming. A Harvard graduate, he was a successful doctor in Boston, but left his comfortable career when the British passed the hated Stamp Act. With Samuel Adams, he organized the Provincial Congress to protest. Courageously fighting in the Battle of Bunker Hill, a monument marks the spot where he died. His name was Joseph Warren, born this day, June 11, 1741. Warren stated, "If you perform your part, you must have the strongest confidence that the same almighty being who protected your forefathers will still be mindful of you."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the program. You can call in to 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Mike Levin's here on the mic. You could go ahead and join us. Let your voice be heard this morning. You know, we've been looking at a lot of different things this morning. We're gonna have a little update from Ukraine for you as well. Thank you for listening, by the way. We invite you to be a part of the program this morning, and if you haven't yet, by the way, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at 1180 AM WFYL. That's 1180 AM WFYL. Go ahead, and we're going to be posting some stuff on there about some of these articles that we find. We always post different things on our Facebook page, but we're talking about the prison system, and I want to bring up a local story, and this happened before. This was reported about a year ago. Okay, February 23rd, 2014 is when it's dated, but I'm looking at a New York Post article, okay? And I want to make a point with this article. It's called Corrupt Kids for Cash Judge Ruined More Than 2,000 Lives. Now, this is, of course, referring to the judge in Scranton, which this was a huge story. All three... And I'll just kind of read you some stories here. Hillary Transu, who's 14, created a fake, in case you've forgotten, a fake humorous MySpace page about her school's vice principal. Justin Bodner, 12, cursed at another student's mother. Ed Kenzakoski, who's 17, did nothing at all, and it didn't matter. This is from nypost.com. As we see in the documentary, quote, Kids for Cash, which opens Friday, all three Luzerne County PA teens met the same fate for their minor infractions. They were hauled into court with their parents, sometimes after being persuaded, coerced, according to at least one parent, by police to waive their right to legal counsel. They were brought after Judge Mark A. Ciavarella, and without warning or the chance to offer a defense, found themselves pronounced guilty, shackled, and sentenced to months of detention in a cockroach-infested jail. They were trapped in the juvenile justice system for years, robbing most of them of their entire high school experience. Judge Ciavarella, who sentenced around 3,000 children in a similar manner, was later sentenced himself to 28 years in prison for financial crimes related to his acceptance of $2.2 million as a finder's fee for the construction of a for-profit facility in which to house these so-called delinquents. The scandal was called Kids for Cash, and it rocked the state in 2009 for the accusation that Ciavarella, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, was happy to tear families apart in exchange for the payoff. Kenzakowski was diagnosed with ADD before he was 10 and drinking by 14, and his parents were so worried about him that his father developed a plan to scare him straight. Along with two police officer buddies, Kenzakowski's father planted a marijuana pipe in the boy's truck, hoping he would be arrested and turned around after a confrontation with the authorities. But the second part of the plan went awry, because Ciavarella sent the boy away, this judge. In the film, Bodner recalls how, shackled and torn from his home for saying a dirty word, he approached the facility in a convict bust and saw the 20-foot razor wire. "I'm now one of these people you see in the movies," thought the 12-year-old, who would smoke pot for the first time 3 months later, influenced by living around criminals in the facility intended to make him a better person. After her release from incarceration, Transu returned to school with a stigma, viewed as a criminal by her teachers and under watch from a probation officer who kept an office in the school. The judge was elected to a 10-year term in Luzerne County Judge in 1995 on a platform of getting tough on teen crime. Much admired for his stance, he was a frequent speaker at schools and was reelected in 2005. I'm reading this for a reason, so stick with me. Knowing he was sending children to a rundown detention facility, the judge decided a new one was needed and approached power broker Judge Michael Conahan, who assembled an investor group to build a private for-profit detention facility named PA Child Care. Ciavarella was paid a finder's fee of 10% for construction costs, or $2.2 million by its builder. Undone by a tip from a reputed underworld friend of Conahan's, among other information, Ciavarella had 2,480 of his convictions reversed and expunged. After his initial release, Bodner, now 24, was shipped off to military academy. He now works as a cook. Transu, 22, eventually graduated from college. A fender bender landed Kenzakowski back in court when he was 19. Ciavarella again sentenced him to a juvenile facility. When he got out, said his mother, his demeanor was all pent-up anger, and a fight landed him in state prison. He was released in January 2010, that Memorial Day, after a day of drinking and arguing with his father. Kenzakowski placed a gun against his heart and pulled the trigger. Had he lived, he would now be 27 years old. So that's the Kids for Cash story. And my point with this is, are we missing similar things happening? There are so many things that happen right under our nose. So a lot of people talk about even like, okay, for example, human trafficking is huge in the news now. It's not huge in the news. But I know churches in particular have gone against human trafficking and are trying to bring awareness to it because it's happening right under our very noses here in the United States. Our girls, women, being trafficked. So my point is, this came down to a corrupt judge, this particular story. We know that we have an issue with our criminal justice system. We know that too many people, it would seem, are in prisons for one reason or another, whether they actually broke the law or it's something else. Now, everyone says everyone's innocent in prison. I understand that. I'm not. There are a lot of people, I would say probably most in prison, who are there because they broke a law legitimately. But what other situations like this are we not aware of? What other situations that may be contributing to our prison system? Are they all going to be a corrupt judge like this? No, they're not all going to be as ridiculous as this story, and this story is ridiculous. And it's unfortunate. A documentary's made about it. It is a scandal, to say the least. But nonetheless, we need to always be aware of what's happening, because we know we have a problem, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more in this program, about reforming our prison system. A quick update from Ukraine, the latest, the New York Times: Russian groups crowdfunded the war in Ukraine. Well, that's a different use for crowdfunding, isn't it? The Novorossiya Humanitarian Battalion boasts on its website that it provided funds to buy a pair of binoculars used by rebels in eastern Ukraine to spot and destroy an armored vehicle. Another group, Save the Donbass, solicits donations using a photograph of a mortar shell inscribed with its web address and the names of donors. Oh, that's great. So you'll have your name etched on a mortar shell, which will go and kill people. That's how you want to be remembered, isn't it? Yet another, Vechi, states that its mission is to create modern combat-ready military fighting units fighting Ukraine's central government. I guarantee you, this all goes back to Russia. I'm not talking about, of course, these are Russian groups, but I mean the government of Russia. I think all roads in this lead to Putin. All roads lead to Putin. We know that there's been things like this done throughout history. Remember, though, in whatever happens, no matter what the headline is, no matter what issues we deal with, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's it for our program. We'll see you next week, 7 to 9.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.